shining bright, you came to us with a heart so full of love, and you showed that you're the one who cares the most, and to us you've always been so close. Everyone will say, please save me, accept Al-Habib. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها لنا يوم القيامة. Ummati, Ummati, يقولها شفاعة أنا لها أنا لها.
The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran while shortwave, 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz, every day, from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave, 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz, every day, from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Salam alaikum wa rahmatullah. This is Hossein Latifi and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In this program we talk about the teachings of the Holy Quran regarding humanity, and the verses of the Holy Quran that talk about different dimensions of the human being. In the previous episode, we talked about different verses of the Holy Quran about the human intellect and the things or obstacles that stop human intellect from functioning properly. And the last episode, we talked about conjecture, following conjecture. And we said, according to the verses of the Holy Quran, some people, because they follow these thoughts that are not supported by any evidence, they actually stop their own reason and intellect from functioning well. A human intellect would see different evidence, and the most solid one, the one that has an evidence, it follows. But sometimes ittiba' than following the conjecture would stop a person from having correct evaluation, and they just follow the dhan, the conjecture, or the thought that is not supported by evidence. And we brought in several verses that talk about this phenomenon. In this episode, and maybe some of the following episode, we should talk about some of the ahadith that we have, especially from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet alayhi wasallam, regarding the human intellect. And we explain the reason why we focus on ahadith in this regard, because, as we said, the main role of the Prophet and the Ahlul Bayt of the Prophet alayhi wasallam is the interpretation of the verses of the Holy Quran, because we have these verses. And because Quran itself has said that لَتُبَيِّنَ لِلنَّاسِ مَا نُزِّلَ إِلَيْهِمْ, we have sent down to you this book so that you explain and you clarify for people. And this is a wrong attitude that some people say, okay, if it is in the Quran, it's in the Quran. Otherwise, no. No, it's not correct. There are ahadith that help us understand verses of the Holy Quran that are in accordance with the verses of the Holy Quran. Yes, some ahadith, they need more explanation, like the way Quran has solid and ambiguous verses, muhkamat and mutashabahat. Also, in ahadith, we have muhkamat and mutashabahat. And the mutashabahat, ambiguous ahadith, we need to first check the chain of transmission, authenticity, reliability, and also then check the correct interpretation is there. Even those ahadith that seem ambiguous and problematic, we cannot reject by the first look. Okay, you say we don't understand it, then it is not authentic, this is not real. This is a problematic that some problematic attitude that some people have. No, we go through ahadith, and some of the clearest ones that help us understand the verses of the Holy Quran, inshallah, we read. So the first hadith that we want to read is from Imam Baqir alayhi salam, in which Imam Baqir alayhi salam says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the intellect in every human being. It is the intellect that is the addressee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this life and in the hereafter. And Abi Ja'far alayhi salam, Imam Baqir alayhi salam says, لَمَّا خَلَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَقْلِ اسْتَنْتَقَهُ, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him the ability to talk and took the intellect to speak. And then there's a conversation. We will have a break and we come back to see this conversation, which is a very beautiful one.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. This is Hossein Latifi, and you're listening to a program for humanity from IRIB English Radio. In the first segment, we ended up reading this hadith from Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam that said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created intellect, showing that intellect is an independent being, an essence in itself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took the intellect to speaking. ثُمَّ قَالَ لَهُ, then Allah told intellect, أقبل, come forward. And then the intellect went forward. فأقبل ثم قال له أدبر, and then said go back, and then it went back. ثم قال was like looking from different angles. So it's a metaphor. It doesn't mean there was a place, and it means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from different sides considered this being, this creature. And after considering all aspects of this creature, ثم قال عزتي وجلالي, by my dignity and by my glory, ما خلقت خلقا هو أحب إلي منك, I have not created anything dearer to myself than you. ولا أكملتك إلا في من أحب, I only perfect you or make a perfect portion of you in those whom I like. And we explained this multiple of times. Liking of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not arbitrary. It's not out of nowhere. It's based on His wisdom, based on the actions of people. Showing that if a person does something that is according to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah loves him. And based on this love, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives him more portions of intellect. أَكْمَلْتُكَ, and it shows that there are different levels for intellect. There's a trajectory, there's a way of perfection of the intellect. وَلَا أَكْمَلْتُكَ إِلَّا فِي مَنْ أُحَبُ أَمَا إِنِّي إِيَّاكَ أَمُرْ وَإِيَّاكَ أَنْهَى. It is you that I command, and it is you that I prohibit from. When I have, you see in religion, in every Sharia, we have commands and we have prohibitions. Allah says, it is the intellect, is the addressee of these commands and these prohibitions. It is you that I command, it is you that I prohibit or prevent. وَإِيَّاكَ أُعَاقِبْ, and it is you that will be punished. وَإِيَّاكَ أُثِيبْ, and it is you that will receive the reward. So this shows intellect is the main essence within human being. Intellect is when people, may Allah forbid, when they go to hell, it is their intellect that is experiencing the pain. And when they go to paradise, it is their intellect that experiencing the joy. So this is very important hadith that we have. And it shows that based on different levels of intellect, people have different duties, have different, maybe a person with a perfect intellect or more perfect intellect has more duties than a person with lower levels of intellect. Why? Because this is the addressee of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every human being. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, Al-aqlu ma'ubada biha ar-Rahman, intellect is by which people worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Waqtusiba bihi al-janan, intellect is by which people achieve paradise. You see, in a market, you say this person is very clever, very smart. Why? Because he could use his intellect to achieve the best possible deal. And this is the same in the business of Akhirah. If a person achieves Jannah, it is through his intellect, because he has made the best, correct decision. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us make the best possible use of our intellect. Thank you very much for listening. Until next episode, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
صلى الله على النبي صلى الله على محمد وعلى آل النبي.
Ayahs, 30 days. A monotheist person not only reflects on the noble Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of the Prophet and his infallible successors, peace be upon them. every faithful person too, according to the extent that they had learnt from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulama or Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Holy Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job until present day. Today this duty has become even more important because of the broad assault of the enemies upon our beliefs of Islam and humanity. The topic of the 14th episode of the Ramadan special series is explicating and clarifying the realities. Thus, we're going to focus on Ayah 89 of Surah Al-Nahl in the Holy Quran. Please stay with us. The blessed month of Ramadan is a good opportunity to have a deep look at the Holy Quran to realize its messages and instructions. The Almighty introduces his book in part of Ayah 89 of Surah Al-Nahl as follows. We have sent down the book to you as a clarification of all things and as a guidance and mercy and good news for the Muslims. The word Muslim here has a general sense and means anyone who submits to God, his apostle and his religion. God also says in part of Ayah 44 of this surah, we sent down the remainder to you so that you may clarify for the people that which has been sent down to them so that they may reflect. That's why Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, struggled in the way of Allah for 23 years to cause the sapling of Islam to root up in the hearts of the faithful and make the likelihood of returning to polytheism a minimum. Therefore, the Holy Prophet succeeded in clarifying to keep Islam out of crisis and seditions. Clarification means explicating and explaining the realities to find a way to go out of darkness and ambiguity. Once the social climate is obfuscated, many people cannot see the right way forward and go astray. Therefore, clarification is a torch in the darkness. For instance, after the defeat of Muslims in the Battle of Uhud, the Almighty did an important clarification and encountered the sedition of the hypocrites. While some intended to put the blame on the Prophet for the defeat and the death of a number of Muslims, God sent down Ayah 152 of Surah Ali Imran. And Allah certainly fulfilled His promise to you when you were slaying them with His leave, until you lost courage, disputed about the matter, and disobeyed, after He showed you what you loved. Some of you desire this world, and some of you desire the hereafter. Then He turned you away from them so that He might test you. And certainly He has excused you, for Allah is gracious to the faithful. Clarification of realities is feasible only through Islamic ethics and God-wariness. It means considering Allah present everywhere in every moment. Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, recommends in his testament to his children and in fact to every faithful to struggle in the way of Allah. Imam Ali says, consider Allah in jihad with your properties, souls and tongues in the way of Allah. Jihad with souls means participation in the battlefield to safeguard Islam and Islamic countries against enemies. Jihad with properties means financial aid for the troops of Islam. Today, this includes every aid in cultural, social, and economic spheres for the benefit of Muslims. Jihad with tongue means logical defense and continuous propagation and promotion of Islam, which presently can be done through the media. Be careful. Jihad, in the sense of effort, struggle, and activity, is a general law in the universe, because all living creatures, including plants and animals, remove barriers through such kind of jihad to continue their lives. Every creature has pests and enemies that it cannot live or make progress unless it fights those pests and enemies. Roots of plants keep moving in the depth of ground to get food and water, so when they face a stone or any other obstacle, they either break into pieces or go round it and advance. Sometimes these fine roots act as firm drills. A look at our body too shows that the cells that are in struggle incessantly as microorganisms keep attacking through water, air and food and so on. If the defensive force of the human body does not fight them with white blood cells, we may be infected with a variety of diseases every day. This invisible and broad fight or jihad keeps us healthy. This is true in a society as well. A society which gives up relentless effort to keep its status will perish or become weak and base very soon. Certainly, verbal and logical jihad is one of the scenes that, if it is given up, it will lead to further pressures on the enemies. During his short rule, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, was often in conflict with Muawiyah, the rebel. Some unaware people would compare him with Muawiyah, saying, "Muawiyah is a clever politician." This word can be heard even today. But Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib, peace be upon him, answered them by saying, "By God, Muawiyah is not cleverer than me, but he tricks and commits sin. His politics is unconditioned, and he considers every vice permitted to advance his political purposes." Today, too, there are people who resort to any evil act to achieve their nasty and illegitimate goals. They chant beautiful slogans like human rights, freedom, and women's rights, and so on, to conceal their real evil intentions.
Fiqh or jurisprudence is an Islamic knowledge and is ranked among
the Holy Prophet of Islam is the example
of
self-purification is the most significant factor.
Imamat yek asl zinda ast dar tarikh Islam.
Imamat is a living principle in the history of Islam and Shiism.
This is Ulama Speech, the best selection of the speeches of prominent Shia scholars.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Well, welcome to another episode of the program Ulama's Speech. In this episode, we invite you to listen to the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. Please stay tuned. During the season of spring, all the nature, including the trees, glorify Allah. All the creatures of Allah, in a way, are worshipping Him. So why some people burn the trees or tease the animals? Therefore, during springtime and especially during the New Year celebrations, we must be careful about our nature around. We must not trespass in the gardens or orchards of the people if we want to enjoy the nature. Our enjoyment as a Muslim must be based on Islamic rulings. In the Holy Quran, one of the attributes of oppressors is ruining the crop and the stock. We are Muslims and we must respect our environment. Even we cannot make the pure drinking water dirty. Even doing ghusl or ritual ablution in a water which is clean and for drinking is an unfavorable act according to the religion of Islam. Islam is a religion for life, and all the dimensions of life must be taken into account for its believers. Thank you very much, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page, for listening to this episode of the program Ulama's Speech, which was the English translation of a short Farsi speech by Hujjatul Islam Qaraati. To find out more about this program, please log on to our website, parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. We leave you in Allah's care and goodbye.
From the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim.
Questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha
answering a dance on questions, and questions and answers on Islamic beliefs.
Allah, who is Ar-Rahman, Allah, who is Al-Mannan.
Please send us your emails through our email, which is englishradio@irib.ir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. We welcome to another episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I am Atta, the host of this program. With me in the studio, we have a very special guest speaker from the Islamic House of Qom and Islamic scholar, Sheikh Rouhani. Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Welcome to the show.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs on IRIB English Radio. You can send your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Insha'Allah, you'll find your way.
All right, Sheikh Rouhani, some people, even some Muslims, might say that there is discrimination between girls and boys regarding religious puberty. Why, for example, girls reach the age of puberty at 9, according to most of the beliefs, and the boys at the age of 15. It is as if, for example, the boys are stronger, but the age of puberty of them will be later than the girls. What's your answer to that?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Unfortunately, yeah, this kind of misconception and misunderstanding is always there, that it is a kind of discrimination against girls because they reach the age of puberty sooner than the boys, yes. Earlier than boys.
Yes.
Is it really a kind of positive ni'mah for the girls, or is it a kind of negative thing for the girls? Mm-hmm. In reality, it is positive. Let me give you another example. Sometimes, the blood money which is given to the wife is doubled, but what the one which is given to the man is half of the blood money. You know that. So sometimes people misinterpret it, that says that why the blood money for husband is doubled, but for wife is half. It is because of this that, for example, if blood money for the man is, for example, 2 million, or let's say,
yes,
2 million, supposedly,
yes,
2 million,
yes,
dollar, for example.
Okay.
So you give his wife when...
1 million.
You, no, when the husband die, when the husband is killed,
yes, yes,
the blood money will be given to the woman as,
yes,
2 million.
Yes, yes.
But when the wife is killed, then the blood money will be given to the husband, 1 million.
Okay.
Look, now, is it something positive for men or women? Of course, it's for women, but sometimes people deliberately misinterpret it.
Okay.
Because it says that it is given to the woman, says that you can spend it for yourself. You have no any responsibility to give it to the children, to your relatives, to your, for example, children, so on so. But when half of that, when 1 million is given to the man, he has the responsibility to take care of his father, mother, children, wife, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So here we see that it is something positive that is given to the woman.
And at the same time, the husband is obliged to give nafaqah,
exactly,
or alimony, and also this mahr, you know,
to the household,
the marriage,
exactly,
gift.
Exactly.
Yes.
So right. Same is the case here. When girls reach the age of puberty before men,
uh-huh,
before boys, it is a kind of blessing. It's a kind of ni'mah. It's a kind of superiority for the girls over the boys. Because what does it mean? It means that the age of bulugh, maturity, and puberty for ladies are sooner and earlier than the boys. It means that they very soon reach to the level that they can talk to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they can perform rituals, that they can be good mu'min, true mu'min. It means that their mentality, their aql, their intellect improves quickly as compared to the boys.
Yes.
So that's why naturally it is something positive. But when it comes to those, let's say, hardships, sometimes challenges or difficulties that a girl might suffer from, and fasting, for example, when she is 9 years old, there are, different signs for puberty.
Mm-hmm.
One of them is the age.
Okay.
Okay? So that's why if the other signs are not there, The ladies, according to some of the Maharaja nowadays, they say that even sometimes, for example, a girl might fast, for example, when she is 13 years old,
okay.
Because in that age, the other signs of puberty will be seen in the body of that girl.
So age is not
is one of the signs, yeah.
Criteria for
it's one of the signs, yes.
Bulugh or baligh or age of.
And also, if you see, mostly the girls really, really reach the age of puberty sooner than boys.
Mm-hmm.
If they are brought up in a very normal kind of situation, it seems that like the hormones or things that are in the bodies of women are more active.
Yes.
And they grow up very quickly, very fast.
That's right.
And that's why when you see that nowadays, for example, in universities, we have more than 60% of the students of universities are girls.
Yes.
Only 40, so less than 40% of the students in universities are boys.
Yes.
Because of what? Because these ladies and boys and women are more, are reached to that age of, let's say, intellectuality or, let's say, kamal and perfection before the boys.
That's right.
That's why the number of them is always more than the boys.
That's right. Okay. So some people also ask that, isn't the age of puberty related to the era in which we live? For example, the Arab girls on that time at the early Islam, for example, were stronger, or the situation or circumstances in which they lived made them more powerful than the girls today, also the boys. What's your answer to that?
Nowadays, of course, we do not have an exact statistics in the whole world that nowadays how is the situation and conditions for ladies, for women. But normally, for example, in Europe, in America, in Africa, in Arab world, even in Asia, mostly the girls reach the age of puberty before the boys.
Okay.
That is something that nowadays... you see that, for example...
So what are the signs, Sheikh? Can you enumerate some of the signs?
There are some...
The hormone difference is one of them.
Yeah, hormone differences
finding,
are there,
for example,
yes,
menstruation,
yes.
Blood money, yes. The money or period is one of them. Okay, so what about the other
And signs? Also, the other point is that, the women cannot give birth to the kids or to their babies after 40 years old. When they become 40 years old, this stops.
Okay.
So that's why from the beginning they become young very sooner, quickly, because men are always capable to have children, for example, after that age as well. It seems that everything in nature is balanced, There are some hikmahs, there are some wisdom behind this, that what are some of the benefits of this for ladies?
Yes.
And what are some advantages of this and advantages of this kind of puberty, age of puberty will go to the women themselves.
Yes.
IRIB English Radio presents questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Answering your theological questions. In questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, dear listeners. You're listening to the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. I'm Atta, the host of this program. Religiously speaking, what are the responsibilities of the baligh people, those who reach the age of puberty? And is it so that they must start their religious obligations right after the age of puberty? Or no, before that, there are some recommendations to do so.
Age of puberty is like a da'wah, like an invitation. We were so young, sometimes, for example, our parents or elder brothers were invited to some, for example, invitations as guests,
Yes.
We were really sad that why we are not invited in that, for example, wedding ceremony, or I don't know, with that party, for example, invitations,
yes.
You know?
Yes.
Because we did not deserve at that time to be invited.
Yes.
But once we become, for example, older, for example, like 15, 18, 20, then we will be invited like the other people. So that's a kind of pleasure.
Yes.
Here, for example, the holy month of Ramadan, ibadah, prayer, talking to Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a kind of invitation.
Yes.
Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala send his invitation to the girls sooner, earlier than boys. So that's why it's a pleasure for ladies.
Okay.
That Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell them that you can come, you can become my, let's say, guest. I send invitation to you when you are only 9 years old or 10 years old, you know? So that's why it is a pleasure for ladies, it is a pleasure for women, that they deserve to receive the invitation of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that age, but boys later in 15 years old. So when you are like children, well, when you are so young, like teenagers, like kids, for example, even if you invited somewhere, no one expect you to observe certain, for example, rulings, things in that gathering and that, let's say, place that you are invited. But once you become like the real guest,
yes.
And of course, in that case, you will be expected to observe certain things when you are taking part into that, for example, gathering, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
To sit in a special way, to talk in a special way, you know, to behave, to respect the others, to treat the others very respectfully with honor. And others should respect you, others should honor you, you know? So yes. These are the things that you have to be you have to be obey and follow. Same is the case with these responsibilities for ladies and men and women when they are invited in the let's say invitation of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Yes.
Then they should honor themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They should observe let's say certain things for themselves.
Yes.
They should behave differently. They should treat others differently. They should respect themselves and others.
Take care of the mahram,
non-mahram.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is a kind of pleasure, you know, uh-huh. It's when, for example, a king invites you in his own castle.
Uh-huh.
Of course, he expects you to treat, to behave respectfully with honor, you know, not only yourself, the king, the people, all the participants in that gathering. Here, as the parable of this invitation is like that, that you are invited now in the very, very, let's say, highest, what you can say, in the very, what you can say, well, let's say qualified kind of invitation, then now you have to observe certain things because mm-hmm. you are honored with this invitation. That's why we should look at all these observations respectfully, what we can say honorably, because it is like a pleasure, like an honor that we are now invited in such a place and we are expected to observe certain things. We should treat like with honor, with respect, with
yes.
dignity, yeah, with chastity.
Yes.
This is for the not only for the ladies, also for boys.
That's all right. Thank you very much, Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of bulugh or age of puberty according to religious beliefs. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to this episode of the program Question and Answer on Islamic Beliefs. For more information, please visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في نهرا من لبن علي وحسين وحسن وحسن
Alongside Iranians in Nowruz. In the name of God, Salam everybody, welcome to the program. Today is the sixth day of Nowruz holidays. Congratulations on this ancient Iranian feast. Today, we will speak about the customs of Nowruz of the people living in Khorasan. Khorasan is the name of a region straddling through the vast area of northeastern Iran. It used to be a single province called Khorasan, but a few decades ago, it was divided into three provinces, namely North Khorasan, Khorasan Razavi, and South Khorasan. However, the people of all three provinces maintain similar customs and traditions, especially those of Khorasan Razavi and South Khorasan. Stay tuned, please. Khorasan literally means the land of sun and the place where the sun rises from. The land of Greater Khorasan once included areas in Iran, Afghanistan, Turkmenistan, Tajikistan, Uzbekistan, and even beyond. Thus, there are traces of all these languages and dialects in today's Khorasan in Iran. Some of these languages and dialects are vernacular, while others are spoken by migrants who have emigrated from other regions in the past centuries and decades. As you know, one of the most important symbols of Nowruz in Iran is Haftsin tablecloth. This tablecloth is composed of different items and edibles, which make it colorful and beautiful. However, the edibles of this tablecloth are prepared in different regions according to the taste of the women of those regions. One of the famous items in Haftsin tablecloth is samanu. As you have already heard, samanu is a kind of pudding made from fresh wheat sprouts. Women in Khorasan put pots in the yard or on the roof 40 to 50 days before Nowruz to be filled with rainwater. Then they pour some wheat in a white and fine cloth and put it in the rainwater to shoot. The wheat shoots and the fresh sprouts are then smashed and mixed with common flour. A few days before Nowruz, the mixture is blended with things like date syrup, rose water, and almond. After that, big copper pots are put on fire to cook samanu. It takes long hours to cook, during which several people keep stirring the pots so that samanu is cooked slowly and not burned. In the end, women take a part of samanu for Haftsin tablecloth and distribute the rest among the neighbors and relatives. People of Khorasan, like people in other regions of Iran, have nice traditions. One of these traditions is called Shah Molai, which is held a few days before the arrival of Nowruz. The trustworthy people in every neighborhood go to those who are wealthy and generous, asking them for catering to the needs of the poor and needy. Another custom among the people of Khorasani Nowruz is called Hanabandan. People of the region, especially women, dye their hair and hands with henna to welcome Nowruz. They believe that henna causes high spirit and exuberance. However, the most outstanding custom in Khorasan is to visit the holy mausoleum of Imam Reza, peace upon him, the 18th Falibel, heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, in the city of Mashhad. As a matter of fact, anyone who can try to reach the holy city of Mashhad for pilgrimage of Imam Reza in a bid to start the year with blessing. The people of Mashhad have another custom after pilgrimage of Imam Reza. They buy some fresh vegetables and bread and then return home believing that this will bless the house and the family. Another interesting custom in Khorasan is to prepare a special kind of ash or broth called jushware. To prepare this food, women spread wheat dough and form it into sheets. Then they fill the sheets with chopped onion, cooked lentils, and peas and spices. Some others add meat and walnut too. Then the sheets are folded as triangles and pressed so that they do not open. At this phase, the triangles are put in boiling water to cook. After the broth boils, some whey powder is added. This food is eaten on the first day of Nowruz in family gatherings. Another custom that is common in villages is to bake a lot of bread a few days before the arrival of Nowruz. They believe that every house should be full of bread so that blessing is bestowed upon them in the coming year. The housewives believe that during Nowruz they should not buy bread from outside. People of Khorasan, like all other Iranians, pay visits to the elderly on the first day of Nowruz. The elderly and the youths pray for each other and congratulate Nowruz. Then they eat sweets, pastries, fruits, and other edibles on half-seen tablecloth. In some parts of Khorasan, it is still customary that grandparents and parents take a plate with sweets, roasted wheat, roasted chickpeas, raisin, painted egg, and coin, and give them to young ones and children. Among the customs of Khorasan province, mention can be made of Bibi Gardi, which is common mostly in Qainat region of South Khorasan. It is held according to an old story. On the 12th of Farvardin, the first month of the Iranian calendar year, old women who are called Bibi are taken outside the village. A Bibi takes some clay and covers it with mud. Women and girls make a candle with a stick and cotton as its wick. Then they burn it on the clay. Bibi holds the candle on her head and women and girls leave the village behind her while rejoicing. Then they gather around the qanat or well and throw the clay in the well, believing that their sorrows would end with it to start a happy year. Dear listeners, next time we will go to south of Iran for Nowruz customs.
Questions and answers.
in Islamic upbringing?
I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do.
Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?
I have a little son, and he's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Our greetings and salams and respect and salutations, first of all, to the Imam of our time, Imam Mahdi al-Jalallah ta'ala farajul sharif, and to you, dear brothers and sisters, who are listening to another episode of the program, Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we try to delve a little bit deeper into challenges and problems that you, dear parents, Muslim parents, might have with regards to raising your lovely dear teenagers. And alhamdulillah, in the studio we have our dear guest, an expert of the program, Sayyid Salman Naghawi, who is a faculty member of Al-Mustafa University. His specialty is Islamic studies. Assalamu alaikum, welcome.
Alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much.
So previously we were talking about problematic teenage behavior that I think comes from a problematic household where nothing is at its own place and you've waited too long, or like you had spousal problems, or you have just had a divorce, or it's you're not even in a divorce, but there is like, you know, the parents are not talking to one another, and the child was faced with a situation where in practice he or she didn't feel secure and loved, and so that anger is accumulated in that child, and so in the teenagehood it bursts out, right? And he or she has a lot of power physically, and he will talk back to you, he will stop listening to you. So we did mention a lot of points where how you can, you know, restart, have a fresh start, and things that you can do. Any other points that we should take into consideration?
Yes, and basically we were talking about the person who has to enforce the rules. So in my opinion, it was the father who is the person who is going to establish those rules.
It's so good to have the father establish.
Yes, that is important. But then the wife has to play, as I said, a supportive role. And she has to reinforce that, and the children should know that their parents are unified in whatever they're doing, even behind their backs. You know, behind each other's backs, you have to stand with whatever has been decided by mutually. You need to discuss. I mean, before you can establish those rules, when you can enforce those rules, you need to work them over together first. Discuss them amongst yourselves that we need to, you know, establish those rules. I will mention them. Or even the father can ask the mother to mention them and, you know, announce them. Sometimes mothers are more assertive in their behavior. Sometimes fathers...
Is it good, though?
I mean...
Usually in those families where the mother is too assertive and the father is the nice guy, he's the nice cop, the mom is the bad cop. Mm-hmm. But you usually are... You're supposed to get love and affection from the female side and like assertiveness, authority from the male side.
That should be the case. But unfortunately, sometimes even in those relationships which between the spouses also...
Exactly.
That's the problem. Yes, it goes back to that situation where if the wife is supposed to be assertive, then she's mostly because she wants to have a dominating role even over her husband.
Her husband.
And that gives a lot of, you know, stress for the husband, because basically the men want to be respected, and women
want to be seen.
Yes.
And recognized as the authority of the house.
Exactly. And wives want love and affection.
Right.
So if...
And respect, of course.
If it's the other way around, then, you know, the person who is sometimes in the situation where the wife is assertive, then she does not leave any room for the respect of the father.
Mm-hmm.
And that diminishes the role of the father. And then he seems to